What's up, secular minorities? This week, I welcome Spencer Kaufman to the barbershop, and we talk about online safety, how to protect yourself online, how to remove personal information from certain websites and databases, and just how to be safe online in general. So this is a good one. Lots of information on here. Go to the website.
TheSecularBarbershop.com.
I got tons of links in there. I'm sure by minute 10, you'll pause the recording, go to the website, wetalkaboutmylife.com, and see exactly what we're talking about. Please be careful. So, follow the Secular Barbershop at thesecularbarbershop.com with all the social media there. And you will also find
Spencer's
information in the description box so you can follow and support his work as well. So
I think that's about it.
So my conversation with So I'm joined here today by Spencer Kaufman. He runs the eponymously named YouTube page where he has different videos. I would call you an internet hustler.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I couldn't think of anything else. I mean, because you know these things that are out there, and you know you're one of those guys, and I was like, I need to get one of those guys on the show, and here you are. You run like I said, a YouTube page. You have different videos, on educational videos, but one thing in particular that really helped me is your videos on how to get your personal information off of the internet. Well, first of all, thank you for being here.
Yeah, no problem. It's great to be here. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, you definitely got the voice for it. So, for the podcast.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. Let me tell you my personal story about this.
Let's hear it.
So it was about 3 weeks ago. I was sitting with my wife, and we were watching some old game show on Amazon, I don't remember what. And
okay.
I was asking my wife, I said, I wonder where those people are now. You know, if they're, you know, if they were actors, or, you know, what's up with those people? And so I typed in the name of one of the contestants, and it pulled up their name, address, where they worked, their past three addresses. I said, this is took a right turn that I wasn't expecting.
Oh,
and I was like, I just wanted to know if the guy was an actor or something. And I looked up my name, and it was on this website, I'm sure you know it, called mylife.com.
Mm-hmm.
I typed in my name. Dude, I had a quote reputation score of 4.5 out of 5. And it, like I said, had my name, address, previous five addresses. You know,
everything.
Yeah.
Yep. You're out there.
Yeah. You remember the scene? I don't know if you ever seen Enemy of the State, and they're sitting on the roof, and Will Smith looks up at the sky, and he's like, "No, no, don't look up. They can see you." That's how I felt in my house. What is going on? What are these sites? What is going on? What is this, man?
Man, basically, if you're on the internet, your information is on the internet. That's the bottom line, the easiest way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
If you I mean, and these sites there. So there are different types of places. There's like public record that is like at the courthouse, right? It's the things that people who in old days, when you were going to get hired for a job, your employer would go down to the courthouse and look up your public record, like your criminal history, see if you had anything on there. And most of the time they couldn't find anything. So then they know, okay, this guy's clean. He can be hired.
Right.
And now they have all these services, all this courthouse information is indexed. And so when an employer wants to run a background check, they just hire a background check agency to check it. And that's more of the secured personal data. They may have, you know, they use your social security number to run it because that's what you gave the employer or whoever when you gave them permission to give you a background check.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's also a lot of free record databases. In the old days, there were phone books. I remember when I was a kid, you know, when I couldn't reach the kitchen table, my dad had put a couple phone books under you and then you'd be like a little booster seat.
Right.
Now the phone books, it'd be a little iPad, you know, that's not going to do much. Right. So all these phone books are now online, and databases like White Pages used to be Yellow Pages, People Smart, People Finders, My Life could be one of them. They've all got an index of everybody's information, name, address, phone numbers. Now, most of them now require a paid subscription in order to view the details of the phone number or some current addresses or things like that. Or maybe they only show your first name and last initial, but then if you pay, then they'll show everything. Mm. So it's out there publicly for anybody if they want to pay for it. And usually it's cheap, you know, $5-$10 a month or however they have their site set up. Sometimes you can find it for free if you kind of know already who you're looking for. And then you could use that information to find them on Facebook. The good thing is getting someone's email address and then figuring them out on Facebook would take a lot more advance than the typical online stalker type. But if someone's motivated, they could definitely find you.
See, that's that key word, motivated, you know, that's, oh man, I'm really sweating right now because this is really, well, it is hot in here too, but it's just, I had no idea. And I don't even know if you can answer this question, but you know, like I'm afraid to give my phone number at a Best Buy. You know, like,
I know, me too, man. I hate giving out my phone number. In fact, before I became, let's say, more of a public online figure, I was like not online at all. No, I never put my email address in anything, never got my phone number in anything. I would set up like another social media account for those places that required you to connect something for verification, you know, a false name, an alias, and that would be like an online alias so that I was kind of like off the radar. Yeah. Then, you know, I became more of a public figure, and now it's like, all right, well, it goes with the territory. You're going to, you know, now you want to be found online.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't want my home address to be found online. You're right. Know what I mean?
It's like, take it easy. You know, it's like, yeah. Just want to educate people. How did you find, because you got an in-depth video that, and I did every single video that you, or website that you suggested. Yep. Thank you again.
Yeah, no problem.
But how did you, you know, say, hey, we need to do something about that? You know, what was your
Basically, the YouTube channel that I have is just called Spencer Kaufman. Mm-hmm. I started that one because when I became an author, when I started writing books, I had to have a website. You know, I was like, man, I got to have a website. And I kind of looked into it and I knew nothing about online or web design or anything. Mm-hmm. And these people wanted like $10,000, $20,000 or more to build and maintain my website. And I was like, geez, I can never afford that. So I said, I got to learn how to do this myself. There's no way I could pay somebody that much. And then to maintain it, every time you'd need a change or an update. So I was like, this is a scam.
So
I started building my website using themes, plugins, all this different stuff. And I would have ideas like, man, I wish I could have something that would be able to like share from here to there, or that would be able to, you know, add this post automatically to my Facebook page or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I would look for different plugins and test them out. Some of them were free, some were paid, and many of them didn't work, which was terrible. So I said, you know what? I'm doing this. There's got to be other people out there that are doing this as well. And I don't want them to buy these rotten plugins. So I started this channel building these reviews for plugins. And then I thought, you know what? It's kind of a select audience because not everybody can be doing this. So I decided to branch out and I started doing stuff on social media, different hacks and how to's. And then I said, man, you know, with social media, I should start doing stuff on this privacy. And I found these databases, White Pages, Spokio, and Intellius, Do Not Call. And I started making these videos on that. And the response was huge. I get tons of people that comment on them. And then a lot of times I'll get people that go in the comments and ask, do you know how to get off of so-and-so or such-and-such? Yeah. And I'll say, you know, not yet, but I can find out. And then I make a video for it. And then, so now a lot of those privacy videos are by user request.
And so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying that's the basic of how it's started and how it's going. Mm-hmm. It's definitely taken off a lot more than I thought it was. The channel's got over 100,000 views and over 1,000 subscribers in about a year.
Right on.
And it's something for, it's so specific. I mean, there can't be that many web developers out there that care about plugin reviews, you know, but it's the more in the security, the social media hacks and, you know, things like how to post to groups and other stuff that I think are really bringing the people in.
That's like I said, you know, you're the internet hustler, you know, you, you know, these things.
Multiple niches. That's for sure.
Yeah. We were talking about the show, why I have a different topic every single episode. That's exactly why you can't just talk about one thing. And God, how, like, I love my PlayStation, but I can't talk about that damn thing every single episode. You know, I'm sure some people can, but not me. But
right. Well, there are a lot of podcasts out there that every day it's one thing, you know, niche specific, which that does help a lot. And that's been one of my, you say I'm an internet hustler, you know, I say online entrepreneur. I like the hustler because it's funny. I took a quiz one time that it was from Ramit Sethi. He's like a big internet mogul business guy. And it said, like, to see what type of person you are. And that was the term I resulted from that quiz. It was the hustler. And it said, you have multiple tabs open on your browser, multiple things going at the same time.
Yeah.
You're the guy that does this, this, and this, you know? And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. But anyway, the whole aspect is I've considered before, you know, with my website, it's like, I have so many things on the website. I've got the videos, I've got blog articles, books, things like that. And I said, is it hurting having so many different areas? Because then you can't really focus on one targeted group of people.
Yeah.
And that's like with your podcast, you have so many different areas of reach. So like right now we're talking about online privacy, but somebody who's interested in making their Facebook page grow or being found online, they may not care about online privacy.
Sure.
So it's tough to hit all groups of people, but I think it is best to be multiple, because if you do only one thing, you limit yourself to all those other things. And especially because a lot of people know how to do more than one thing.
Oh God. Yeah. I think the best advice I got was you have to have five things going on at one time. Just to, I live by that. I really do.
Yeah.
I have the podcast. I'm also learning programming.
Oh, that's a tough deal. I tried to start that. Holy moly.
You know, but I love the logic of it. You know, if this happens, then, you know, or not if this, but if, you know, the coding and the order and all, I really get off on that. But anyway, we're not talking about that. But.
Oh, it's a great field. I'm telling you, especially with the way the world is today.
Oh, yeah.
I've told a lot of young people, look, if you want to do anything, you need to start learning code.
Yeah.
And that could be HTML, Java, CSS, any of those languages. You learn one or you learn them all. That is the future, because as I've been doing these plugin reviews, I think, man, here's a plugin that does this. Here's one that does this. If they would combine, because they each have flaws in the opposite areas and strengths in the opposite. If they could just take the good from each of these three different plugins or two different plugins and put them together, you'd have a killer plugin that could do all this stuff and people would line up to buy it.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, but you know, so it's a tough thing to do though, to sift through all that data and lines of code. And it definitely is a specific mindset. It's not something everybody can do. It's like philosophy. Not everybody can talk about philosophy or think about philosophy. It's,
I get lost on that.
You know, it's like code. Not everybody can learn and read code. I mean, I definitely found that out. I know some basic stuff, but beyond that, I was trying to get deeper into it. And I'm like, man, this is just too much. I got too much else going.
But that's a good segue, you know, taking the best of one plugin and the best of another plugin, and let's just say you type something on your phone and you want it to go from your phone to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, let's just say. And so here we go again. You know, where you're putting your stuff out there all over again. When you're trying to limit how much information is out there, it's almost a paradox.
It is.
You know, you can't go online without going online.
If you go online, you're going to be tracked. I mean, that's the bottom line of the internet. You have, especially if you use Google Chrome browser, because half the time they force you to sign in, or even Google Maps on your iPhone or Android or something. Most of the time they say, hey, sign in to get better things. And most people, they just sign in. You know, and they don't think about it. They're, okay, I'll just sign in. Well, now guess what's happening? Google is tracking your location 24/7. They know where you are at every moment of every day. Now, does that really matter? Probably not. But could it matter? Because if you don't want someone to know where you are all the time, I mean, if they're tracking information on millions and billions of people, the chances of them singling you out, probably not very good. But from a safety perspective, if someone ever gets lost or kidnapped or anything like that, and the authorities can contact Google, and if Google decides to relinquish that information that they're obtaining, let's say it's legal, but it's it would come with a public outcry if the public knew.
Kinda know,
like, so they may not give that up, but if they did, then people could be found a lot faster.
It's
I wouldn't want them to be tracking me all the time, though, personally.
No,
I'd rather not be found.
I'm with you, man. Did you have like a, you know, a moment like, let's Google Spencer and, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've done it before. In fact, that's one of the things I recommend a lot is, so the videos that I have online on how to remove, you know, remove yourself from the public record and become invisible, that whole playlist on YouTube. It's something that I say, if you go through like you went through and you did them all, you followed every step on every video. Right now, you've submitted requests on 9 or 8 different places to get your information pulled off the internet. In 2 or 3 months, I'd run another search for your name on those places again. Because if, you know, just in case, what a lot of people don't realize, like, let's say you apply for another credit card in that time, or a loan, or you, a job application, or the healthcare. If you're going to renew your healthcare by December 15th and it goes through for January 1st, your information could end up on those sites again, because a lot of these places purchase lists of data from, let's say, public or government type resources, and they get that and then they just re-add them to their database. It's like the phone book. If you in you know, 20 years ago or 10 years ago, if you recommended to the county or whomever that you wanted to be unlisted in the phone book, after so many years, your information would come in again and you would have to manually tell them, no, I don't want to be in this edition, or you would be in the phone book.
Right.
So it's kind of something you need to continually maintain and stay on top of. which kind of makes it a hassle. It's like, you know, if I want to opt out, I just want to opt out.
But yeah, it should end there, right?
Yeah, I mean, they should, with the technology, they should be able to remember it. Hey, this guy said no, let's leave him out. But they want it to be as many people in there because it helps their numbers. If they can say, we've cataloged and indexed 20 million people, then when they're selling advertising to someone else, they say, hey, we've got 20 million people on here. That's a lot of people for other people to come and look for. We're going to get a lot of hits on our site so we can charge more if to have someone advertise on there. You know, and other things. I mean, I'm sure as more traffic gets there, they get, you know, it's all, I mean, Pinterest doesn't have any advertising, but they make a ton of money. They're worth billions of, or I think, I mean, they're worth a lot. Let's put it that way. Sure. Facebook, they're now monetizing with ads and everything, but they were worth a lot before they started that. Yeah. And so just by having numbers and users and traffic, it increases the value of that website or that domain name. So that's part of the reason they want to index and have as much information on there as they can, because it increases their company's worth.
So, okay. Well, let me touch on something that you mentioned earlier.
Sure.
You're talking about the comments in YouTube.
Yeah.
I can attest to that. You know, if you don't know how to delete your information, you will find out, because that's how you and I connected. I was trying to, I think it was whitepages.com, and there was a process that they changed.
Yeah, they're always changing it. Sneaky buggers.
You had just posted that video a couple of weeks before I reached out to you, and I was like, man, they already changed it.
Yeah, they don't make it easy. Well, in one of the videos, I stated that you have to go through, like, so you go to the place, you have to click on this link. It's the white pages. You click on this link, you go to the privacy policy, you scroll down to step 8, click on this link, then you go here, then you fill out this, then you have to make sure you want to submit it. It's like, holy moly. I mean, it used to be like a few years ago, you just went to whatever the website was, / opt out. Yeah. And then they would have a form there, and you would say, you know, paste your listing, hit submit, and you're done.
That's it.
Now it's like pulling teeth, but that's because they want, you know, they count on many people not being able to figure it out. And in this world, many people are, let's say, lazy for that. You know, if they go on the website and they want to remove their information, they're not going to spend 20 minutes going through all the steps. They want something quick. And that's mostly our own fault of technology. You know, 10 years ago, we had dial-up internet. Now, if we had dial-up, we'd go nuts.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I mean, think about having to wait 10 minutes to get online and then wait 30 seconds every time a page loads.
Yeah.
The internet statistics say that if your page doesn't load in under 3 seconds, people are going to click away.
I can believe that.
I mean, yeah, we're in a world of instant gratification with this internet speed, that if I make it difficult for someone to remove their information from my gathering website, then the chances of them following through and actually getting to the end are very slim. And so that's why, like, if with these video steps, I made the video, who knows, maybe somebody from White Pages said, hey, this guy made a video showing all our secrets, we better change the links. And they changed it. That could be what happened, maybe not, but yeah, they changed them, and I had to go through and find the links again. And then obviously I'm not going to remake the video every time they do that, but I'll just update the links. That's crazy.
It is. And you know, I one of the sites, I can't remember which one, but it was on the video, which, by the way, will be in the description box, because I'm sure everybody's freaking out by now. But
yeah, if not, they will be when they start finding their information in all these places.
I'm sorry in advance, but I'm trying to help y'all. We are trying to help y'all.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. That's the purpose of these videos. I mean, it's not like I made them to help myself. You know, it's like, look, I got to share this stuff.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
But there was one video, or I'm sorry, one website. I can't remember the name, but like I said, the people, they will see it. It had the little location icon, like on
Google
or something, right on top of my apartment. I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
I was like, what the, you know? So, yeah, I mean, they're not messing around.
They have all the technology. I mean, think about if they have millions of dollars to spend on tracking people down and they launch their own satellite. Now they've got, you know, real time data if they want it, and they could, you know, they could find your car, they could track your license plates. I mean, it's these things that we see in the movies of, you know, like the futuristic type movies of people getting real time data, facial recognition on all the ATM cameras, and hacking in and finding license plates on traffic cams. We're in a world that can happen now. It's possible. Now, a lot of the governments don't have the ability to do that just because of the red tape and human privacy laws. But a corporation like, let's say, Google, who has money and power and flow, they could easily do that. However, if someone found out, obviously there'd be some ramifications. But if you're that wealthy, you could pay it off. Or someone like, let's say, Bill Gates, mm-hmm. he could just say, hey, I want to find so-and-so, and they would find them. Now, our only hope is that those moguls are better than that and they won't do it. But someday someone could.
Yeah.
Because it's there.
You know, that reminds me of it was a scene, and I use a lot of movie references, as you can see.
Yeah, I like movie references.
Minority Report.
Yes.
There was a scene that always creeped me out, and it was when Tom Cruise's character, I can't remember his name. Let's just say Jack, whatever.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, fine. But he was running away right after he was trying to escape, and he walked onto this subway or a train or something, and everybody in the train, once they walked in, they turned around and faced the door like you're in an elevator. And they got their eyes scanned.
Yeah, retinal rating, yeah.
Yeah, and everybody's eyes were flashing. And then they said, oh, he's on the subway at blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, yeah. My God. That creeped me out. And that's
that
not
happen.
Real, you know. But, yeah.
I know there are a couple of there's a TV show called White Collar. Mm-hmm. And I think in one of the episodes there, the bald guy Mozzie, I think his name is. He's kind of a tech dude. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for some fugitive. It's a show where this criminal ends up working for the FBI. And so he kind of does his own little angles to try to help the FBI because he's on some kind of parole, you know, and then the FBI has to stay within the law.
Right.
So he's always working an angle. And his friend is this Mozzie guy. And so they're trying to find somebody. And Mozzie says, oh, man, I can ping everybody's phone. TVs or something. And so then within a matter of seconds, they have this picture of the fugitive. Every single person gets a text message and every TV screen has it on there. And so, of course, everybody gets this notification and sees it on every screen in the room and in the subways and everywhere. Jeez. And they find the guy in like 10 seconds. They, you know, I mean, think of the ability, you know, for law enforcement right there, that would be huge. But the mm-hmm. you know, they never get past the red tape. But for someone who could hack it criminally, mm-hmm. that could be some, I mean, you could advertise Coca-Cola all over the place like they used to do in the movie theaters, you know. They'd flash them before the screens and everybody would get up and go out and buy a Coke.
They still do.
But your you know, the information is out there for sure, and it comes from places that people don't even realize. Like they may say, well, I'm off of these public databases. But it goes one step further. If you sign in, like let's say your Amazon account, Amazon is practically the number one online shopping and just the huge, I mean, they're a mountain right now.
Yeah.
And Amazon and even eBay or places like iTunes where you sign in, you can download stuff. They track all of your information as well. Amazon, let's say, if you're looking for certain books or certain music or movies, they're recording all of that data so that they can better promote to you and suggest what you might like to buy. Or just like YouTube, if you watch a bunch of videos, pretty soon YouTube starts saying recommended videos, and there's stuff that you watched or you have is related to the stuff that you watched. So all of these places, they track your statistics, Now, they may not track all of your personal information, but they track all of your buying habits, your viewing habits, and then they use them to market to you. In addition, they sell them to other marketers so that those marketers can market to you.
I always thought it was odd. when I first started the podcast and I was looking for equipment, I was on Amazon looking for my recorder, for example.
Right.
And then I go to Facebook and that same damn recorder is on there. Okay, now it's right making there. Sense. Okay. I had no idea. God. Okay, so. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. That's why a lot of places, they say that they have that little thing on there. Sign in with your Facebook account or log in with Google.
Okay.
Because if you log in with that, now you've connected your Facebook account to Amazon or StumbleUpon or wherever you're going. And then they can communicate with each other so that what you do on one platform, they can market that to you on the other platform.
So these are connected.
They are connected. Wow. And most of the time, see, a lot of them, they connect without your knowing. If, like, let's say you sign into Facebook and then you navigate over to Amazon, but you didn't sign in with Facebook on Amazon. You just signed in with your email address or something or wherever, you know, Amazon and Facebook, just an example. You could do it any two websites. If you stay signed in on one, like many people do, many people use the remember my passwords on Safari or Google Chrome or Firefox. They save all of their data. And if you log into multiple, then those sites can communicate because it's cached in your browser. So your browser remembers all of your information from each of those websites. And then whatever website you visit, it can access that information, pull it out and use it for their own marketing purposes. So the best way, if you want to prevent that from happening, is to never have any site remember your password and just remember them all in your head or put them in an Excel spreadsheet and keep it on your computer. And when you go to the different sites, log in manually in each one and then just make sure to sign out before you go and log into another one. Or have it so that every time you close the browser, it automatically clears all of your cache, browsing history, and passwords, everything like that. And then it will be a lot less likely that those places will retrieve that data. However, if you do sign in with Facebook or with Google to another site, then you've given them permission to access that data. So in that case, you've already given them that information. But if you don't give them that information, they can still pull it out of your browser.
Yeah. Jeez. And you know, when you say sign in manually, you know, people are going to be like, I'm not going to remember my password.
And, I know. That's a chore.
3 seconds to
I know I can go there and I'm already signed in and I don't have to do it. A trick is if those of you listening are really, really concerned with this, and you should be, you know, unless you don't mind people following you around someday, whether it's physically or just on, you know, a computer with the icon on the map, then do some tricks with your passwords. You know, maybe come up with, you know, your thing is PlayStation. So maybe your password for every place could be like PlayStation. And then you could have some random characters, like maybe use a percent, a dollar sign, you know, some random numbers that you'll remember, though. They have to be meaningful to you or it's, you're never going to remember it. And maybe on the PlayStation, you capitalize the P and the A would be an at sign. And you capitalize the S or make it a dollar sign.
Yeah.
And then at the end, so you'd use those same, you'd use PlayStation and the same number and special characters. And then at the end, you could have like Facebook or Google Plus or something where you abbreviate where it is. So that way you're only remembering like one password and then you add some letters that are specific to each website.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That way, it's something that no one's going to guess it because you've taken the word PlayStation and jumbled it up with symbols and letters. So it would be really impossible for someone to guess, but yet it's easy for you to remember because you remember, oh, what's my password for Amazon? Oh, it's PlayStation AMZ or something like that.
And
you can continue on with all of them. So you don't have to remember 200 different passwords. You just remember one and then the little characters for the site you're on. So you use that to stimulate your memory.
Right on, right on. I like that. I'm actually writing that down.
Yeah, I mean, it may be some work to go through and change them all. But yeah. Then another thing is, a lot of people nowadays, we have multiple email addresses. It's not like you have one for everything. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that I say is, if you have accounts with one email address, maybe choose a different word for that email address. So maybe your personal email accounts that you log in with your personal email would be the PlayStation. That way you have like a new word associated with each different email address. And then anytime you go to register a new account, you don't have to think, what's my password going to be? Oh, okay, it's with this email. It'll be this word, these characters. So that way, anytime you sign up for something, it'll be real easy, real quick, and you can easily remember what you're doing.
Mm. Good advice. I like it. I like it. Let me ask you about these more about these databases. It really is fascinating. I don't even know where to start. Okay. Well, let's use the sign in with your Facebook. I do remember.
Sure.
I think it was a couple of years ago where I stopped signing in with Facebook because I was slowly getting off of Facebook, and I'm not on there anymore except just for, you know, my website. My podcast.
The podcast.
But even that, I don't even update, you know, because I just don't want to be on Facebook anymore.
You know, that's the thing with a lot of social media. It's really a pain.
Yeah.
But it is important for, you know, for a lot of marketing and for awareness, because so many people, it's funny because I recently joined a thing called Discord, and it's basically like a chat room almost. And I see, like, I go on there. I mean, I don't have time to be on there all day. But there are people who are on there like all day chatting about nothing and then promoting their blog posts or whatever. You know, you can join a server for anything you want, video game. It's made for gaming, but they have servers for bloggers, YouTubers. I mean, anything, you name it, podcasts, anything. Mm-hmm. And so, but then there are these people who are there like just every time I go on there, and I go on there like once in a while. I mean, it's not all the time. These people are always on there. They're always talking. And I think, don't they have anything to do?
No, they don't.
You know, like, they're, so, yeah, I mean, these people that they post on Facebook like every 15 minutes, or they like something or share something, it's they're always on there. I mean, isn't there more to life than just posting all the time and being online?
Yeah, no. No, there isn't.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, that's apparently I missed the boat. I got to be on there a little bit more. Always on social media, checking the updates. It's funny because there's a new movie. I guess it's not that new, but it's within the last, you know, few months. Hmm. It's called The Circle, and it has Tom Hanks.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah, and the movie is really, for what we're talking about, it's actually an eye opener, and I would recommend anybody go see it. I mean, wait, it's on, might be on Amazon Instant Video or Netflix or Hulu sometime in the near future, but check it out on there because it's a video, The Circle. And I think it's a book as well. Mm-hmm. It's basically the Circle would be like Google, I suppose, but it's a huge conglomerate and they have access to everything. And these people are like kind of getting bought into the social media world. And it reminds me of a lot of people that I know today. Like, they're always concerned about their status, or when they go somewhere, they have to check in so that everybody knows that they were there.
Yeah.
Or they have to post a picture so that everybody can see what great time they're having.
Right.
Or, you know, Snapchatting all the time. It's really amazing that,
you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's really amazing that it happens like that, people, you know, people do get so sucked into this.
You know, I deactivated my Facebook page. I haven't deleted it yet, but I deactivated it, just so I can get it off my radar. You know what I mean?
Just so you don't have to worry about it.
Right. But let me tell you, man, just this morning, I reactivated it because I needed to go in and message my wife about something. Mm-hmm. And I started scrolling and scrolling. and scroll. I literally had to say, hey, stop, get off, because you get sucked in, dude. So you're not lying about that.
No, it's something that can run your life, that's for sure.
But what's sad, and here's that paradox again, when I would advertise, I would pay on Facebook to advertise the podcast, and I got the most hits on my podcast, thousands of downloads. I was like, holy crap, this is great. But why does it have to be on Facebook? You know,
it's, I know. I don't know. That's where the people are.
Yeah, they are. They are. But,
you know, I mean, Google Plus has got nothing compared to Facebook.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
They're the number one social media.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think, you know, Facebook is slowly becoming, well, I always said Google is going to be Skynet, if it isn't already, you know, and the robots are coming. I think they are. But, you know, because they did buy DARPA. And
that's really concerning that they bought DARPA. I mean, when I found that out, I'm like, oh, my gosh, we could be in big trouble. I mean, for those that don't know what DARPA is, I mean, they can practically do whatever they want with the weather. I mean, it's something that goes back. The guy named Tesla, Nikolai Tesla. They now have Tesla Motors. And the reason the guy named Tesla Motors, fun fact, is because he liked and thought that Tesla was such a great genius, so he named his car company after them. But the Tesla guy, he invented like everything and didn't get credit for it. He invented the radio, electricity, the light bulb. He invented this. He invented DARPA. He came out with the cell phone like hundreds of years before the cell phone was existing.
Wow.
He invented ways to communicate with the other side of the globe by sending electronic pulses through the Earth and using the Earth as our satellite. And of course, that didn't catch on because it would put out all kinds of phone and everybody. He found ways that anyone in the world could get free electricity, free internet, free resources just by using the Earth's power. I mean, the guy was a genius.
That's crazy.
But he made this. They call it the death ray. He didn't like that name, but he showed people that he could control the weather, and he would actually summon like lightning storms and you know, thunderstorms and this and that. And that's what modern day DARPA has found a lot of his research and they could control the weather.
Yeah.
I think they made a movie on it recently, actually.
I'm going to have to look for that. Yeah, yeah. If you find it, please email it to me.
I know the Tesla movie is, I think it's on Hulu, and it's got like a picture of Alien or something on there, because they claim that when he was communicating with people, they've, you know, kind of discredited him and said it was aliens, which it possibly could be. Who knows? But yeah.
Right. After everything we talked about today, I mean, geez. you know, DARPA came on my radar when I saw I was playing Assassin's Creed 2, and just, this is one of those segues I was talking about. I was playing Assassin's Creed 2, and they were talking about the, you know, Templars versus the Assassins. And Thomas Edison was a Templar because he screwed over Tesla and, you know, with the elephant, you know, DC current versus AC current. And, you know, talking about the robots and DARPA with those creepy robot dogs. I don't know if you've ever seen those. They're aware of their balance. Really creepy looking. Look in the description to freak you out some more, people.
Man.
Robots are coming. No, I'm kidding. But you know, it you know, just talking about Tesla and you know what's DARPA is doing and all of that. It's just that future is here. You know,
it's here, right? It's no longer here. The future. We are in the world of your public information is everywhere. People can control anything. You can be found anywhere. I mean, it's no longer like the Wild West when you can run to Mexico. You know, you're going to be found.
Yeah, yeah. Do you keep track on your personal information? Like, you know, did you have, you know, do you have to be up on these people to make sure that your information is safe? And, you know, have you had anything like that?
Information and, you know, remove it again. And then the occasional Google search is also good. But for if you have, you know, like I have a website and everything, so I'd have to scroll a long ways down in order to get to any of these public record areas. But it's something that, you know, you got to maintain, because your personal information is the information that, you know, you don't want anyone to know. That's why it's called personal.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and another thing, this is something that years ago, before I started my online hustling, I used to make sure that I was staying hidden off the radar by creating fake profiles on these places. Like I would go in and, let's say, on White Pages, at the time it was called Yellow Pages, and it would like create, okay, Spencer Kaufman lives in Iowa. Okay. He's this old, and it would be like close enough to my information that there would be, if someone searched it, there'd be like 10 results.
Yeah.
So that way, if mine was on there, there'd be all these other ones that someone would have to sift through in order to find me.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, nowadays they make it a little bit harder for you to create all that, but that could be an alternative. If you really want to be invisible, but you don't want to give up being online, then that could be a way for you to do it. Start sending people in the wrong direction if someone is looking for you.
Yeah.
You know, that could help.
Oh, man. I really am speechless about this, because it's, you know, we've all heard the, you know, they're tracking you, they're watching you, Big Brother, all of that. You know, and when I saw this myself, that's when I really believed it. So my question for you is, and I think you kind of alluded to this already, but can you be completely invisible? You know, can you remove your internet footprint? Is that possible?
It is, but it would be a sacrifice that I think a lot of people wouldn't want to make. If you wanted to completely remove it and go invisible, now, number one, the real reason for you to do that would be obviously because you're probably a fugitive or you have some other reason for not wanting to be found. Like witness protection, the government will remove all your stuff for you, and just, or they'll change it or do whatever. So they have resources that can do that, worms or viruses or malware that can seek out all the things associated with whatever they want and delete it and remove it.
Right.
It could still be found on the dark web, whether it's your Facebook profile or something, that it will be found on the dark web. Now it won't, you know, like maybe your specific personal details won't be there, but like maybe your old profile picture might be, or things like that. Remnants will be there, but you can remove yourself from, let's say, the other side of the internet by, you know, deleting every single social media profile you have, deleting every single online shopping account you would have. Now I'm talking everything: iTunes, Best Buy, Amazon, eBay, even the old ones from long ago that didn't really make it, like the Illabris or Barnes & Noble, if you have that, anything. If you remove all of that and then go through and remove all your information from all of these public record places, and you would have to consistently do that for probably 6 months just to kind of keep making sure none of it is popping up back on there. And then the next thing would be, don't go back on. And then also make sure you have your internet browsers set to maybe like you only browse in a private window or incognito. And then with your phone, take all those applications that you have on there. A lot of apps that you download, they're automatically set to track your location, even if they don't need it. Really, the only app that you need to have follow you would be like your GPS, and that one is only while you're using the app.
Right.
Or if you have, like, if you're in business for yourself and you have like an app that tracks your mileage, then obviously that you'll need that one always on.
Yeah.
But that's really it. Or if you take bike rides or jogging or something, but then just open the app and do it while using the app.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing. And then if you do still want to be connected on, you know, like maybe you get rid of all your social media, but you still want to be able to take advantage of like Amazon shopping or Barnes and Noble, set all that up under an alias. But you know, obviously you're going to have to connect your real bank account or your PayPal address or something to there. So there's, if you're going to shop online, something, but your public name could be something different. Ultimately, though, they will have your banking information, but that's not the information they would sell to someone anyway.
Yeah.
So it is possible. You can completely remove yourself, but it will take a lot of work. And the question is, and we've talked about this before, the motivation. Mm-hmm. If someone is truly motivated to remove that information, then you will go through all those steps. If not, you know, what is the trouble of having all of that? You know, I mean, as far as the marketing and the social media, is it really that bad that someone, you know, if, like you said, you found a podcast equipment on Amazon and then it showed up on Facebook, that's not the end of the world. But when you found that little icon on your apartment, that maybe is now it's time to get serious. So, you know, if maintain, you know, checking the different people finding websites and the different databases, it also might be beneficial for you if you've lived in several different towns or if you lived in one town to reach out to your local courthouse and go to the public records there. And you're going to have to sift because it's now you're dealing with government and government is a lot of nonsense. Let's just say, I mean, you're going to have to go from person A to person B to person C back to person A. And I mean, it could take you several hours, but go there and see if someone, an aide or a clerk can help you run some searches on your name and see what they have and see if there's a way for you to get it sealed or removed. Now, if you were talking criminal records, that's probably not going to happen because those are they're available. But if it's just your name and address and local things like phone book records, they will have no, if you have to submit some kind of form that says, I don't want anyone to find them, they'll throw them away. They'll get rid of them for you.
Okay.
And so that could help. And if you've lived in a lot of different cities, then that may be a good idea for you to call some of those places and see what they might have and try to get that information removed if it is something that concerns you.
I really hope, you know, people take heed and follow your videos. They are very thorough.
Thank you.
They helped me, you know, at least feel a little bit safer.
Great.
And I really appreciate you, you know, taking that time to write me back and say,
I'm really happy we got to do this.
I am too. This is also, I had a previous Twitter, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
One of my previous guests, she had something like this happen. And, you know, for a while, you know, I didn't even see her on Twitter anymore. And some troll posted all this personal information on her because he didn't like something she said or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, you know, how scary, you know, is that? And I just, you know, this is before, way before this episode, but, you know, just thinking about that and, you know, putting someone's information out there like that, it's just, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, it's like they say it to the high schoolers that take pictures of themselves and then send them to people. You know, you got to be careful because once someone decides to get mad at you and shares that with everybody else, now it's kind of out there, you know, you're. So it is something that's scary, and you definitely have to be careful with what you're doing and who you're sharing your information with.
Yeah, especially with the holidays coming up too.
Yes. And it's very important, you know, that make sure that any websites you're on, if you're putting in a credit card number or checking out, that it has that little lock up in the address bar and either says secure or or has the HTTPS. So it is a secure domain. If it isn't secure, then, you know, it better be a trusted source,
right,
that you're willing to put it on there. Another thing that with that is, you know, it's recommended to get, apply for a different credit card and don't use your checking, you know, your debit card for online purchases. Apply for a card and get it and only use that for shopping online. Just make sure to pay it off every month, because now you're going to rack up debt. Then that's a whole other problem you want to avoid. But
okay, that's,
you know, that
idea.
Way, if something happens, then keep the limit low, like a $300 limit or a $1,000 limit. That way, if anything ever happens, you're safe. You know, your bank account will be fine.
Right.
It'll just be that credit card that'll happen, and you could call them up and cancel it, and it's done. Then there's no problem, because if they steal that identity, it's just one little credit card with a small limit.
Right.
What can they do?
Right.
Not much. It'll be much easier than if they steal your whole bank account. Then you'd have to get a new bank account, new, you'd have to spend all that time to prove that it wasn't you. I mean, it's a nightmare.
I've had that happen. It was actually right around Christmas.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And my bank called and they said, yeah, we got a ping or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, $20,000 was spent at a Toys R Us in California.
Somebody had a heyday.
They had a blast. And
man.
But, and I'm in Texas, you know, it's like, wait a minute. We haven't figured out quantum physics yet, so I'm not in two places at once. We need to fix this. And so, yeah, y'all, right here, this happened. So, please.
Yeah.
Please.
And see, that's another thing that people think, oh, it won't happen to me. It will happen to you. It's going to happen. In today's world, there are so many people out there that, number one, they can't get jobs, or they can't get jobs that pay them enough, or they can't get jobs that they like. So they resort to other methods. Mm-hmm. Maybe they say, you know what, I'm better at hacking on the computer, so I'll find other people's information and sell it. And look, I get a lot more money for that. So, I mean, now, maybe 20 years ago, it won't happen to you. It was a good mentality. But now you better have the mentality that, hey, it will happen to you. It's just a matter of when and how you can prevent it. So right. Something's going to happen.
Right.
It's just a matter of, you know, is your information secure enough, or is the information that's out there, you know, is it just that Facebook ad? I mean, that's a personal information, let's say breach, if you want to call it that, that you found it on Amazon, then all of a sudden it's appearing on your Facebook.
Yeah.
They targeted you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, now that's a harmless breach, but if that is happening on a daily occurrence, the chances of something more significant happening are there, especially as we continue to dive deeper into this world of technology and social media.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, I think for now, I want to safely say we've covered the basics.
I think so.
As you know, dive deeper into this and make more videos, I'm going to stay in touch with you. And
yeah, that'd be great.
You would come back and, you know, and update us on, you know, what's, what else is out
there. Keep it going. Yeah. So if there's anyone out there listening that is starting to go through these videos and finding themselves on social websites that have their information, and if they come across one that I don't have a video for or that they need help with, jump on there and put a comment in one of these videos saying, I need some help removing myself from XYZ website, or do you know how to get off of this website? And I'll get on and reply to you and try make a new video or something to help others that may be finding themselves on that same site you're on. Because that's how these videos are going to get made. I don't know all of the public record sites out there, and there are new ones every day. So if you come across one that I haven't made a video for, put it in a comment to one of the videos, and we'll keep making these videos and help others get their information off of the hundreds of sites that may be out there.
Yeah. And he will get back to you, I promise.
I will.
Tell everybody your YouTube and your website and where they can find you, Twitter.
Yeah.
And stuff.
So the YouTube channel it's just Spencer Kaufman. You'll see a picture of me there. The website is SpencerKaufman.com. All my videos are on there as well. Books, blog articles, Like we said before, multiple niches. So, I mean, pretty much anything you would need to interact with, it's there. You can find me on pretty much every social media website now, unfortunately, but it's something that comes with the territory. So no matter where you are, if you're on Facebook, Google Plus, Pinterest, wherever, you type my name in, you'll find something, LinkedIn. So feel free to contact me, network with me on any of those places. Depending on which social media, it might take me a day or two to get back because I don't check them as often as I could. Like I said, I'm not on them all the time. Yeah. I'm not on them 24/7, but I'll find it eventually. YouTube would be a good spot because I'm on there quite often. My website, Facebook, and LinkedIn. So yeah. If you have any questions, yeah, put a comment anywhere on there.
Right on.
And another place that I'm always on is Steemit, STEEMIT. So get on there and you can put a comment on any of my videos or blog posts on there and I'll get back to you right away.
What exactly is it?
It's a massive data processing system capable of controlling information on a global scale.
A data processing system?
That's right. The system's a social device for maintaining the Patriots' control.
You've lost me.
Well, in this day and age, information emerges from every direction and is freely distributed. A variety of information gathered by servers employing the latest in high-speed communication networks and P2P technology is rapidly circulated to individuals. In fact, the speed of this circulation process is accelerating on an almost daily basis. The Patriots seem to be afraid of this development. Apparently, they believe that their role will shift from dominant to dominated.
Huh?
Let me give you an example. You're aware of Solid Snake's anti-Metal Gear activities, aren't you?
Yeah, I know a little about it.
Well, that's just a small sample of uncontrolled information. I can guarantee you the Patriots did not want Solid Snake's name publicized. Now, look at it like this. Political scandal, corporate corruption, up until now, the Patriots have managed to keep a lid on these and other self-serving events. But with their existing data processing system, they're no longer able to effectively control the flow of information generated at the individual level. With the newly created system, they can fully regulate digital information. High-level information can be categorized in stages, given clearance levels, and deleted as necessary, never to be seen by the public. By deleting such information, the Patriots can shape the course of history as they see fit.
Somebody's bound to catch on.
No, the memory capacity, not to mention the lifespan of the average individual, is extremely limited. On the other hand, digital information lasts virtually forever. It doesn't deteriorate.
So?
The alphabet. 26 letters, right? It could have been 30 letters. What if the 4 deleted letters were controlled by a program?
Impossible.
It's not. In fact, something similar is already underway. Do you know how many genes exist in an individual?
About 30 to 40,000.
Right. That's what was announced at the turn of the century. But there's actually 100,000 according to the original theory advanced by the scientific community. Information regarding the remaining 60,000 was suppressed by the Patriots.
No.
Why? How would you know? Do you know what a gene looks like? Did you count them yourself?
There are research organizations.
Of course. And their reports have already been subtly altered. They're even beginning to believe the doctored reports. GW is a system that allows the Patriots to decide what will be recorded in tomorrow's history.
So what we're talking about is one huge censorship system for deleting information which might be inconvenient to the Patriots.
Exactly. The actual physical core for handling the task, GW, is installed in Arsenal. It's the only system in the world with an optic neural AI that has a parallel processing capacity of 980 trillion Hamets.
I suppose that being a specialist in neural AI and complex logic played a significant role in your association with the Metal Gear Project.
That's not the only reason.
What do you mean?
Huh.
I guess there are plenty of other reasons.
Yes, there are.
I understand.
Do you?
So Arsenal Gear was actually designed to protect the GW system, wasn't it?
Yes. It's armed with everything, including nuclear weapons, and is fully equipped with cyber-terrorist countermeasures. Physically and logically, it's the ultimate fortress for housing GW.
But is the AI actually capable of controlling everything?
No. GW is only the system's core. It's only for deciding what data is stored or deleted. The actual subsystem for executing the task exists within our social structure.
What?
Do you remember the panic that gripped the computer industry prior to the end of the century?
You mean the Y2K problem?
That's right. If you recall, our government supplied the world with a countermeasure program using the internet at full capacity. The program was distributed to every governmental organization, every key facility throughout the world. In addition, the same program was included in an OS application for distribution among the public.
Let me guess. The Y2K countermeasure contained a program designed by the Patriots.
Yes, and everything supplied from that day onward contains the same program.
Impossible.
Do you know how a computer operates? Do you really know the basic principles on how data is exchanged? Nobody's aware of it, but there's a subsystem in place, and it's about to be activated.
Is that why Solidus wants to burn out every electrical circuit in Manhattan with a nuclear blast?
Probably, but the overall system isn't actually complete.
What?
It still lacks the necessary factors for judging situations. I heard they were planning a major experiment in the next few days to provide complex data for GW to study. And suddenly all this happens.
Emma, it's not your fault. If it wasn't for the terrorists...
Yeah, you're right. Well, I think that's about all I know.